God being with mankind, who was the first administrator of God's kingdom on this earth?
The very, very first?
Yeah.
Satan.
No, a man.
Oh. Adam.
Adam. All right, hold on. And, of course, he failed, but he still is God, was God's administrator. His family was handed down. God promised Adam and Eve, actually he promised Eve, that she would be the mother of all living mankind. And Adam said that she is the mother of all living, because God had promised her that she was going to bring forth the Messiah. They had a great disappointment in the son that they thought was the Messiah, which was Cain, murdered his brother. The Messiah didn't come along for many, many years. But he finally came along in the person of Jesus Christ. But in the meanwhile, we had Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right. God used him as his administrator of his kingdom. And he was supposed to teach the truth. God preached the gospel to Abraham. And if you wonder what the gospel is, it's 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. First few verses there. Paul told the Corinthian church and reminded them what the gospel was. The gospel was, is that all of the Old Testament portrayed the coming of Jesus, God in the flesh, and that he came according to the flesh, died according to the flesh, and was raised according to the flesh. And that is the good news of the gospel. All right? Well, Abraham was supposed to have an heir. And Abraham, but one of the problems that we have in the world today was Abraham's lack of belief. We have a lot of problem in the world caused by Abraham. Because he did not believe God. God promised him that he was going to have a seed by his wife, Sarah. Sarah told him, take my handmaiden because I'm too old to have a child. You know, if God tells you to do something, he empowers you. Remember the story I told about that little boy in Wyoming?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this little boy, Willie, he had to do what he had to do, and he knew he could do it because he had to do it. Well, God, if he has a job for you to do, you can bet your bottom dollar that God will be behind you to do that job.
Amen.
Don't worry about it.
Amen.
He's going to do it.
Amen.
All right? Well, Abraham did not trust God, so he, Sarah says, well, take my handmaiden Hagar, which was an Egyptian. And in the Bible, Egypt is always a type of
sin
and the world. They had a son. His name was Ishmael. All right? That was the non-promised son. That was a son of the bondwoman. All of the Muslim people today are related to that ungodly son. And that religion that they have and are adhering to today is diametrically opposed to all other religions.
That's right.
To the point of death, killing anybody. That's the wars that we're in over there right now. We're in a war. Just about a world war. And the world war, if Abraham had done what God told him to do, those people wouldn't be there. They exist because of Abraham's sin. Okay? Then later on, that wasn't all. After Sarah died, he married again, and he raised a whole bunch more. And all of those children are the ancestors of the Arab people today. And all of this Islam. My wife looked at a little National Geographic paper or magazine yesterday. She was looking at it, and she said, look here, it says that Abraham's the father of three religions. I said, yeah, the Arabs. See, they claim, that even the Muslims claim Abraham as a father. They say the promised son of Ishmael, not Isaac. And I said, of course, Christians, the faith that we have in the descendant that was to come from the loins of Abraham in the person of Jesus, through that as a descendant, we wouldn't have salvation without that, would we? And of course the Jews, they missed the boat. The Messiah came and they didn't jump on the boat. They tried to sink it instead. We have these
periods of time coming down here. Now, when God called
Israel out of Egypt. Why was Israel down in Egypt? Why did God say that Israel would be in Egypt for 400 years?
It was a punishment for not believing in God's provisions for them.
Yeah. What did Abraham do that caused that punishment of his descendants for 400 years? He went down to Egypt when the Mount Tough in the land of promise. He went down there and trusted in the world to provide for him. And he got run out of the world, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Because he tried to sell his wife to Pharaoh, which was the promised woman. I mean, that's not much faith in that. I mean, he is a father of faithful. And the book of Hebrews tells us that he is the father of faithful. And you, every one of you that are born again, you still live in the flesh, don't you? And boy, is this an ungodly, stinking flesh, isn't it? You have to fight it every day.
Amen.
You have to fight it every day. But the Spirit of God that's in you is stronger than that which is in the world.
Amen.
All right. When God called Israel out of Egypt, and he brought them and was going to put them into the promised land, for 40 years they were out in the wilderness. And by the way, all the period of time from then on, from Mount Sinai, from then on, Israel camped around the tabernacle of God. And God told Abraham when he took him up on Mount Sinai, you go down from there and I'm going to give you some inspired workers. And I want you to build a tabernacle that typifies everything in the promises of God, just exactly like I have shown you. You go down there and you do it. Make sure that you do it just exactly like I have shown you to do it. And what did this tabernacle look like? Look at your pieces of paper that I gave you. All of you have one of these? All of you? Or Levi? You don't have one.
I don't have one.
All right. Who else doesn't have one? You don't have one,
Levi?
All right.
There you go.
You need one thing? Well, I want you to have one with you. Maybe if I can get them apart here. All right. Now look at this. Now, how many tribes of Israel were there?
12.
All right, we know that there were actually 13, but
it speaks of 12.
Now, several places in the Bible, it shows some truths. Now, this is a poor character of the tabernacle, but this is my drawing. And I was fighting with my computer almost all day long to get this done. I finally gave up.
I'll get it for you.
I finally gave up and just erased the whole story because it was putting things in there that I didn't want to put in there. I was trying to do things.
You've got to do some weird things to it.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Anyway, I finally drew this out on paper by hand and typed some things on it with a typewriter, and then I got tired of doing that, flipping it around, so I wrote some things in. Okay, I mean, that always works. All right, if everything else sells, get the pen out, okay? Well, if you look at this, this is north. All right, I tried to go the other way, but it wouldn't print it. It would, but it wouldn't. North should be up there like that, but let's put it up here and put north up there. Now, when God showed the plan of the tabernacle, everything in the tabernacle portrayed Jesus Christ, primarily and secondarily, his church in the church age that we live in today. Okay. Now, the temple of Solomon was to typify the glorious church in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And plus, all things pointed primarily to Jesus, too. Okay? Now, here we have all the camp of Israel. Now, how many of you remember in the book of Ezekiel that you saw this theophany? Do you remember the faces on the theophany? What were they?
Lion,
a lion,
eagle,
an eagle,
man.
A man,
man,
and a cow.
Yeah.
All right. Those are the four things you saw. In the book of Revelation, the living being, now it calls them beasts in King James, which is incorrect. These living beings that lead out in the worship of God, what did you see in these living beings? I think it was the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. What was there? What did this living being get turned every which way? And what did the thing...
Different eyes.
What?
Had a lot of eyes on.
Had a lot of eyes on. That means all seeing. But what faces did it have?
The same one.
The face of a man, the face of an eagle, the face of an ox.
Ox, lion.
And a lion.
Weren't the faces like cubed around the being?
Now look at Israel. This is the way Israel camped. Now we're studying the 21st chapter of Revelation. We're talking about the eternal age. We're talking about New Jerusalem. Truth, when a truth is set up in the Bible, it's truth all the way through the Bible. Didn't it? Didn't change. Salvation has not changed since Adam's salvation. Adam was saved. Salvation has been the same all the way down through the ages. You believe, you repent of your sins, and the Spirit of God comes and dwells in you, and your spirit is born again inside of you. Nicodemus was supposed to know what that meant when Jesus was telling him. He wasn't of them all. He said, you're a master teacher of Israel. You're a rabbi? And you don't know what being born again is? They were supposed to know what that was. That was taught all the way through the Old Testament. Salvation is one way. One way. The indwelling that took place in the New Testament was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the empowering on the day of Pentecost, and that came upon the ecclesia. Alright. And that's what leads into all truth. You want to know why Baptists teach the truth? Because the Holy Spirit has been with us all those years. It doesn't have anything to do with us. It's the guidance of the Holy Spirit. North. If you want to look it up in your Bible later on, you can look up Numbers 2, 25 through 29. And we have Asher. These are the ones that were supposed to camp in the north part. The north here was the face of the tabernacle was east. Okay? And as you look up, actually it would be this way. North is that way. Okay? And east would be this way on the chart. Now, north it would be Asher, Dan, and Naphtali. And earlier in the lessons I told you what all those names meant. And when they were born and everything else, and that was in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation. Okay? And if you want to get one of these, I can get some printed for you. They're about $75 the last time I had them printed. But if you want one, I'll get one of them for you. Dan, in the Bible, it was prophesied that he would be like a what? Dan would be like a snake, a Nahash, an adder to his brothers. He would be a problem. Okay? Now, in the in front of these three tribes of Israel that were in this north part away from the tabernacle, every one of these three groups, or four groups actually, of three of the tribes of Israel, there was a flag. How many ever heard about the flags? They had flags over the tribes. And in the north, they had a flag that was red and white. And it had the face of an eagle on it. Now, in the book of Revelation, when we come out, you're not going to find that the tribe of Dan is spoken of at all. Now, the eagle, how many have ever seen the Mexican flag? What does it have on it? An eagle of what? Well, a snake. The eagle is the death-dealing enemy of the snake. And guess what? Guess what the flag over these three tribes was? The eagle. All right. So it overcame Dan and his
dad. Why did you say that Dan was an enemy in Revelation?
Nope. I don't know. To tell you the truth, all I can do is guess. I can give you a guess or two. That some people say that they believe that the Antichrist is coming from the tribe of Dan. Some of the things that Dan did in his life and his people were despicable, okay, to God. In other words, God left him out of there and he brings in Ephraim and Manasseh instead. All right? Now let's look to the east. Okay, on your chart. Look to the east. Is Judah, Zebulun, and Issachar. Okay, they're in the east. Now, they have a green flag. over their tribes. And guess what's on the green fly?
The lion.
The lion. Now are you catching on? Israel was to worship and lead out in the worship and the administration of God's kingdom on this earth, and they were supposed to lead out in the worship of Jehovah. You see that over and over in the Bible. And you see these visions. Okay, look at South. Simeon, Reuben, and Gad. And what is the color of the flag?
Red.
Red. And what is on? What is the face that's on the face of a man? Is it all tying together? How many of you ever heard this before? All right. The face of a man. Numbers 2, 10 through 17, by the way, if you want to look it up in the scriptures. Now to the west. All right. That's Manasseh, Ephraim, and Benjamin. What tribe came from the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh? That's the tribe of Joseph. What people in the promised land that became half-breeds after a while, but Jesus never had much anything bad to say about it?
Samaritans.
The Samaritans. They were descendants of Joseph. Okay? And Israel was the promised son, but the rejected son is the one that's the chosen son, usually in the Bible. God rejects the firstborn. Doesn't he? When you're born the first time into this world, you are rejected of God because that is a birth of death. Isn't it? You must be born again the second time. Alright, that flag, what color was it?
Gold.
And what was the face?
A cat.
What does gold typify in the Bible?
Value.
Deity. All right. And what were all of the animals? What were the animals? What did every animal that was sacrificed typify in the Old Testament? The person of Jesus Christ. What kind, and just look at it. Here's Ephraim and Manasseh. What got Joseph the job that he got as a number two man in Egypt? What got him that job?
His interpreting dream.
His interpreting a dream of about cows. Alright. The dream was about these cows that got skinnier and skinnier and skinnier. Alright. Now let's go back and look at some of these. How about the face of man and the flag is red? What do you think that typifies? The first Adam gives us death. The second Adam is the life giver from heaven itself. But to get life, he had to die. His blood had to be shed. Alright? So we see the face of a man that's typifying. We can't worship God unless we have the blood flowing. Can we? You can't worship God. You can't pray to God unless you're saved.
Amen.
God's not going to hear people's Polly want a cracker prayers. You know? Polly wants a cracker. That's mainly what people pray for, especially lost people. I want something. You're my spare tire religion. I didn't need you all this other time, but now I need the spare tire. Go back to the east. The flag is green. Green. What does green stand for in the Bible?
Growth.
Life. Life. Life and growth. Alright. How about the, what's the face on this?
Lion.
The lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Alright. The lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion of the tribe of Judah one day will come back and he will bring this whole world under absolute control.
Amen.
Yeah, he will. Now I'll go back up to north again. Now we have the eagle. And we have white and red. What does white stand for in the Bible?
Purity.
What is it? Purity and righteousness. Okay, red again?
Blood of Christ.
Blood of Christ. What does the eagle stand for?
Power. Nobility.
Divineness. divineness. There's an old story they say among this whole many, many times over and over again. An eagle's abode is in heaven, but now and then he has to come down to earth to eat and to get his dinner. But he should not become so satisfied eating that he can't be able to get back in the sky. He get blown up like a turkey and he can't take off. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be children of heaven. Not be so weighted down by this world that we can't get back up in the air. Alright? Now the tabernacle itself. We're going to have a heavenly worship scene portrayed for us here in the book of Revelation. Starting with 21:11 on. The tabernacle, as you can see here. Now, oh, by the way, all around this area here is called the holy area, and that was reserved for the tribe of Levi and all the ministers. That was all around the tabernacle, by the way. All around the whole area. What?
But Levi had a front row seat.
All right. Anyway, Levi, yeah. All right, now inside of this area, there's a perimeter around the tabernacle where no man was supposed to go except those ministering. And then around the outside of the tabernacle, there is a fence. Like this, okay? I'm going to draw you another picture here. And there's a cover right here, a screen, where you walked around into here. Now, this fence is held up by boards. What does the material wood stand for in the Bible?
Humanity.
All right? But these boards stood on silver sockets. What does silver stand for in the Bible?
Redemption.
All right, and they had little ropes hold them up. And this fence was what? Color?
White.
Pure white, right? All right. And when you came in here, the first thing you saw when you walked in here was an altar. The altar, a lot of part of the inner part of the altar was what?
The inner part? Casey.
Yeah, it was in the inner part.
Wood.
Wood stands for humanity.
Everything,
yeah. Everything about this tabernacle stood for Christ and us, his redeemed. Okay? Wood. God had to become flesh, human, to redeem you and redeem me, didn't he? All right? But this was covered with something, wasn't it? What was it covered with?
Gold.
Bronze, brass. What does brass typify in the Bible?
Judgment.
Before God could ever get you back into his presence, and on talking terms, there's a price that had to be paid. Judgment had to be rendered. Christ had to die for our sins. Okay? Now, the next thing you saw here was a large bowl or a bathtub. It's called a laver. Right? And this laver, every priest, when he began his ministry, he was taken out and he was baptized in this big basin. Alright? He was dipped. Every time he went back into the service of God, from that first time he was totally dipped, but from then on he had to wash his hands, feet, and face when he went in to serve. But one time, the first time, he had to be dipped. Alright? And what does the water in there typify? The cleansing power of God with us saved. You know, we're saved. And God saves us from all sins. And he keeps us saved. He keeps us saved. All right. So here we have somebody walk in here. The first thing they had to do was offer a sacrifice. The sacrifice typified Christ. Then in here there was a tent. This is a tent, what it was. And it had covers over it. And every one of these covers was a different color, and it had things woven in them. One of the covers over this tabernacle was blue. What do you think blue stands for? Heaven. All right? One of them was white. The righteousness of Christ. Christ's abode was in heaven. Purple. What about purple?
Royalty.
How about red? The blood again. All right, the blood again. And then as you walk in here into this area, now I want you to see how this typifies, first of all, Christ, and then His redeemed church. All right? The first thing when you walk in here, on the right was what?
Showbread.
The table of showbread. There were 12 loaves of bread on this table of showbread, and it was called the presence bread. This presence, this is, God remembered His people always. They were always before Him at all times. Then over here to the left, there was a candlestick. The only way that they could see to minister in that tabernacle was by the light of that candlestick. The only way that you could ever serve God and know what you're supposed to do for God is by His Word. How many of you heard all the problems that's going on in the Catholic Church today?
Yeah.
Do you know why that's going on?
Yes.
Perversion.
1100 AD. 1100 AD.
What happened in 1100 AD?
That's when pre-celibacy started.
The idea of celibacy started in the Catholic Church. It was perversion. They took what God and Paul said, don't let any man tell you to marry or not to marry. And when the Catholic Church designed to not allow their priests to marry, they broke a cardinal rule of the Creator God.
Amen. Amen.
And from that time on, Amen. There has been trouble in the Catholic Church because of it. In 1500 AD, Luther went to Rome and was complaining to Rome. He was a Catholic. So was Calvin. They tried to clean up the Catholic Church. It didn't work. But Luther went to Rome and he says, the people in Germany are demanding that the priests have concubines or mistresses because their wives are becoming pregnant in the confessionals and are raising the children of the priests. And we want this stopped. These people are immoral. The children are being molested. All of this is going on, and this was in 1500.
Mm.
Been covered up for 1,500 years.
Yeah, it's been going on all the time since 1100 AD. There's been problems with it all that time. It didn't begin today or last month or 10 years ago. It began when they went crossways with the Word of God. Anytime you go crossways with the Word of God, you've got problems, brother Carl.
Well, in regards to that, Brother Jim, I just heard on the national news, on the Christian radio station, the leaders of the Catholic Church, they stated, they're still going to have celibacy. And they stated that the celibacy, because their priests are celibacy, that is not the cause of the problem they have today.
That they have today, I don't care how much they lie, I don't know how many excuses they make about it, they have gone contrary to the Word of God.
Amen.
Anytime you go contrary to the Word of God, you've got problems.
Amen.
You have created a problem.
That's it.
They created a problem because of the dogmas of the church. The dogmas of that church is ruled by tradition.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Not by the Word of God.
Amen.
And all of their traditions are contrary to the Word of God.
That's right.
They did not want people to even have the Word of God in their hands for hundreds of years because it would lead them away from that church.
That's right.
50 to 100 million Baptists died from the time of Christ all the way down, and over half of them were killed by the Catholic Church and by the powers to be.
Wasn't that what they were trying to apologize about? A few months back, they were saying somehow they had made great wrongs and they apologized.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people had been killed. Yeah. They apologized to the Protestants.
Yeah.
Because so many of them had been killed. Well, John Calvin's John Calvin's students made a plaque one time for some of the people that he had called for their murder. John Calvin he killed Baptists too.
Why did he do that?
Because he couldn't answer them in the Word of God. And when they would get up and debate him, he wanted them dead. You know, John Calvin and Luther both left the Catholic Church. They didn't want to leave the Catholic Church. They left the Catholic Church because they didn't want them telling them what to do. But they came out of the Catholic Church with another state church, the state and the church being married, telling everybody else what to do, and if you didn't do what they said, they killed you too.
They did.
Yes, they did. Every one of the Protestant world, if you'll find, if you look back in history, every Protestant church was a state church someplace. Everybody but Baptists. And they have never married the church to the state because that is a biblical no-no. Church and state don't belong together. Only back during this period of time when God was ruling through Israel on this earth. We're not in that age today. Let's go on back now. Back to the tabernacle. We have here the table of presence where God remembered his people, all the 12 tribes, and he wanted them to be with him. We have the candlestick. And then right here in front of this veil, this is the veil, by the way.
Question about the candlestick?
Yes.
And I was reading about the candlestick. Now, the candlestick was
gold.
It was blown out when they weren't in there. And then relit, right? And it was relit from the embers of the altar.
Yeah. That's why it was supposed to be kept lit all the time. It was supposed to be lit. It was supposed to be an eternal fire.
And the initial fire came from God.
The initial fire came from God.
And they kept the fire with them as they went?
Mm-hmm. They kept the fire with them. That's like the fire carrier among the American Indian people. Mm-hmm. All right, here in front of the veil now, this veil was the veil that was rent. Okay? Mm-hmm. This was the same type of veil that was rent in the Temple of Solomon, actually the Herod's Temple, when Jesus was died on the cross of Calvary. The veil of the temple was it was torn from top to bottom, and the Ark of the Covenant was laid bare between here and there. Right here is an altar of incense. Now, saved people can pray, but if you really want to get serious with God praying, you pray in one of his New Testament churches. If you really want to get serious with God, that's the place of service. During this age, where was the place of service? This age. Israel. If you wanted to be serious with God, you became an Israelite. Alright? Whether it was by proselyte or whatever. In this age today, you want to be serious with God, then follow his rules. We've got people all over the world trying to make up their own rules. There's problems. And it goes contrary to the Word of God. This altar of incense typifies the incense of the prayers going up to heaven. And Christ was our intercessor, wasn't he?
Amen.
He was our real intercessor.
Amen.
All right, and then in here, this was the holy place. Now, this is the Holy of Holies. Now, in this Holy of Holies was a box. It was made out of wood, which typified the humanity of God in Christ. And it was covered with pure gold. Beaten gold, by the way. Deity took a beating on the cross of Calvary. Did you know that?
Yes.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit tasted death on that cross. Every one of them was in Christ. There were three gods. This is the triune God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Triune God.
Three and one.
I'm reading about that yesterday.
All right. Yes. All right. Now, over this Ark of the Covenant were two angels standing. What are angels in the Bible?
Messengers.
The word angels comes angelos. From the word angelos.
Angelos.
Angelos, which means messenger. But also it's a messenger and a
minister.
Witness. A witness.
That's why there was two, right?
Yeah, two of them.
One.
The Bible tells us by two or three witnesses let everything be established. That's the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's the way you're supposed to... All civil business and everything on top of the earth, it's got to be based upon that truth. In other words, things have to be known to be a fact before you can prosecute or you can do anything. If somebody murders somebody, you've got to have some witnesses. All right? Somebody's got to say, somebody knew something. All right. These two angels stand as witnesses. inside of the ark on top of it was called the hilasterion, the glossmol. That's the covering. Okay? It's the word kafar in Hebrew. It means a covering. And when you took that covering off, that mercy seat off of there, what did you see down in that ark of covenant?
Physically?
Mm-hmm.
The
law of God.
Manna.
Aaron's rod that budded. Well, in all of this thing, there was a container of the ashes of the red heifer, which they used to cleanse. They put it in the water, and they cleansed everything in services. Most of this red heifer. What? Yeah, the staff was in there. But when you looked in here, one of the main major things that you saw was the law of God. And when you look upon the law and the perfect law of God, what happens to humanity?
Die.
Death. When this, hold on, brother. When this Ark of the Covenant was being carried by some people one time that weren't supposed to be carrying it, were they? Remember in the Old Testament? A lot of people died one time. Because they weren't administrators over this ark. They should have sent the right ones down there. They should have been the Levites that were carrying this around. And the thing was shaking around on a cart, which wasn't supposed to be carried on a cart. It's supposed to be carried with handles.
And they shouldn't have touched
it. By the priests. And they were afraid it was going to fall over, so this guy stuck his hand up there to stop it from falling off the cart, and he was struck dead. Death. This is deity.
Amen.
You don't come. When you come to God, you're not going to come on some false religious system,
Amen.
Some false religious basis. It better be truth, or you're not going to get there.
Because God's holy.
Yeah. God is holy.
Yes,
he is righteous. And he demands certain things. There are certain rules that have to be taken care of.
It's interesting, when you said red heifer, Brother Jim, we have a book about how right now in Israel, there are Jewish people, they're preparing to build the temple,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to get a red heifer ready to go, so when they get that temple built, they want to have a red heifer ready to go when that temple is built.
Well, in the book of 2 Maccabees, which is in the Apocrypha, Jeremiah wrote down what took place when Israel was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. God told Jeremiah the prophet to take the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and to take them in the same mountain where God buried Moses, and he showed him the promised land. And where is that? Okay, Mount Nebo. And it's over there in what country today? Jordan. And he hid it in a cave in that mountain. And he told Jeremiah that this will not be discovered until the last day when I gather my people back together. I'm going to show them where this is. And guess what else is in that cave? The ashes of the red heifer that was from all the way back there, so they could be cleansed. But you hear all kinds of stories. You know who the Israel is looking to build? Who's going to build the temple for them?
Antichrist?
The Antichrist will build the temple. They're not going to build the temple. The Antichrist is going to build the temple. You hear all kinds of stories and things where the Ark of the Covenant is, and Indiana Jones and all this kind of stuff. But the Ark of the Covenant is where God said it was, where Jeremiah hid it. Levi.
Is it a warehouse somewhere?
It's hidden in a cave. It's not a warehouse in Washington, D.C. either. Levi.
Let me ask you, the ashes of the red heifer, in order to start, the sacrifice, they have to get the ashes from the red heifer that was in that cave, right?
Yes, they run back. It's there.
If
you read 2 Maccabees and all the Jews, now, I'm not saying Maccabees or any of the Apocrypha is absolutely inspired of God. But the Jews have always accepted that as an absolute historical fact. This happened. Jeremiah did take those ashes. He took the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and hid them in that cave. Matter of fact, some people tried to go back and steal it, and God stopped them. These are historical facts.
And that's there.
It's written down.
That's in there right now.
And it's there today.
Whoa.
I believe that. Okay? I believe it today. Anyway, now let's bring it back into the church age. We live in a wilderness today, don't we? Where was this tabernacle set up? In a wilderness. I mean, the world should be a wilderness for a child of God. If the world's not a wilderness to you, you're too much in love for the world. It's as simple as that. It ought to be a wilderness. Out here in the wilderness, and when they wanted to come and worship God, first of all, they came in, and the first thing they saw was this white fence. You can't even come to God without salvation, without the righteousness of Jesus
Amen.
Christ at all, can you?
Amen.
But on your way to follow His instructions and His will in the Word of God, that's where it's set down, not in some dogmas or some rules, even a church covenant, really. Our rules come from the Word of God. When you come into here, when you're saved, the first thing that God's going to lead you to do is what?
Pray.
What?
Conviction.
After you're saved. You've been saved now.
You've been saved.
What's He going to do? You know what? I think Lydia there was one of the first people I ever baptized in my life. That was a long time ago, wasn't it, brother?
Yeah.
But what did... Huh? Because the gold was the last. When you got under conviction of the Holy Spirit, you were saved, weren't you, brother? And then you got convicted again, didn't you? And you wanted to join the church and follow Christ with your life. And you... The first thing when you do, when you come into Christ, the first thing is the altar, the sacrifice of Christ. What's the next thing?
Baptism.
And then what do you do after that?
Serve.
Fellowship. And serve. And look at the prayer, the Lord's Supper, and led by the light of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, and you can come into the very presence of God. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? God immersed His church in with the Holy Spirit of God with His Shekinah glory. When Moses built this tabernacle the first time, after it was completely built now, it was already built, God took possession of it and just immersed it in His Shekinah glory. After Solomon built and finished the temple, God took possession of it and immersed that temple with the Shekinah glory of God. And then after His church was put together and Christ had taught it, the church had been baptizing, it even had a treasurer, all this during His ministry, He told them, wait for Me now, because you're going to go out into the world. And He gave them the marching orders in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 16 and 18, He told them that I'll be with you until the end of this age. Right over here. Promised that He'd be with them. That the church would exist all the way through this age. It was a promise by God.
That's
what did they see at night?
Pillar of fire.
A pillar of fire.
Yes.
What happened on the day of Pentecost? That never happened again, by the way.
There was a fire.
There was a fire.
Cloven
all
tongues.
These people were just... It looked like flames off of people. The Shekinah glory of God was present.
Hmm.
All right? The Shekinah glory of God was present. And here we are still today. If you want to be in the Shekinah glory of God, that's where you go. You want to follow the Lord today? Follow the Lord and worship Him according to the Scriptures. In a church that teaches the truth.
Amen.
Yeah, that's sister.
Which are talking about in the Holy of Holies, that... Now we have direct access.
Right, absolute direct access.
We don't have to have a priest go in for us or nothing. We have direct access. One question, question I'd like to ask you. I have forgot the significance of the curtain being rent from top to bottom.
Well, when it was rent from top to bottom in the temple there in Jerusalem, it was torn and laid wide open. And it was ripped from heaven to earth because God came down from heaven to earth and made the pathway to salvation and to His presence immediately accessible by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this stood for. The priest in the Old Testament, and there's where we are. We're talking about a heavenly worship scene. We haven't even got there tonight.
Hmm.
But when we do get there, we'll know what it's talking about, won't we?
Yes, sir.
All right. When the priest had to go in, all Israel, the day of atonement, which was called the Yom Kippur, the day of covering or atonement, when the priest came in here, he had to make an offering for his own sin, wash himself clean and be cleansed, and then walk in here, and they tied a rope on the dude. And they put bells on the bottom of his dress.
So
they can hear him moving.
In case he had some sin or something.
And because if he went in there without... you could. He was a high priest now. If he went into here, he typified Christ. He had to be without sin when he went in there. All right? And when he went in there, and they listened for those bells to keep on ringing. If they kept on ringing, if it got quiet in there, they better start pulling on the rope.
Amen.
And get him out of there. And get another guy to make atonement for their sins, because their sins weren't forgiven yet. Levine.
Okay, I'm quick. I'm just saying, if that happened where the priest went in there and he dropped dead, the sacrifices, would they have to start all over again? Or
that's right. They better get another man. Because the man that he typified Christ, our high priest, once and for all, that made the offering. But he had to go every year. The high priest had to go every year. All right? But if this guy wasn't honest, he was going to be dead. As simple as that. God bless you. Thank you for your patience and enduring those hard seats tonight. Brother Ken.
But after Ezekiel 10, then, because God left the temple,
yes.
Then any bum can walk in there with sin in the heart, and they wouldn't know the difference, right? Because
Jesus went back in and took possession of that temple, didn't he? He went and whipped all those guys out and everything after the fact. This is my house. My father's house. Yeah. I will clean it up. And he cleansed the temple. All right? But still, the Ark of the Covenant wasn't there. Not the real one. They had a lookalike. They had a veil there, but it wasn't the real veil that's still over there in that mountain someplace. But just the same, God proved and showed them that they were wrong. That they were done away with. The national Israel was no longer the administrator of God's kingdom because they were bankrupt. Yes.
I get in trouble sometimes when I'm so straight-laced about this baptism thing. They like to say, well, you're baptized because it was a commandment. Well, he commanded you to do so. It's more than that. It makes you a part. You're a set apart.
Yes.
It specifies who you are.
You identify.
You're identified with.
You're identified with God. In the old history of Baptist churches, in 251 A.D., Cornelius and Novatian fought over baptism. They were rebaptizing back then because people were publicly denying Christ, and he publicly made them put back on Christ through baptism again.
This common thing going around now, it's okay to just go out, whether you're a member of the church or not, you just go out and baptize.
Church is baptized.
Yeah, there's no authority there.
Yeah. No, they go out and they say, well, they go back to Philip. Well, here's...
Philip
here's
was a deacon in a New Testament
I
church. Authorized. He was a presbyter, a deacon of that church.
They don't think so.
And if you look in the New Testament, everything that a deacon did, it's exactly the same thing, all the qualifications of a pastor. All right, they're supposed to do all Sunday. Go to Carl.
Oh, it's interesting. I pastored a church in Banning, and I resigned from that. And after I left, a man came in there, and he taught the people that baptism was not for today. And I could not, and there was an older man in the salvation, and I talked to him on the phone some years later. I said, now, is that true? You don't believe Baptist? Oh yes, we don't baptize anymore because of a certain dispensation. I could not believe it. This was a fundamental church, and this man came in there and taught that baptism was, and he had a baptistry in there. I baptized my daughter. Then you have to use it.
Yeah.
I could not believe it.
If you listen to Family Radio with Harold Kathy, you'll find out. He'll tell you that we're not in the church age anymore, and you don't need to be baptized. And that you're supposed to just listen to his program and send money to him, and he will teach you the truth. And you're not supposed to go to church. Yes. That you're not supposed to go to church, and there's no need to be baptized today at all.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
That's heresy.
He's on every day. Well, it sure is. On every day.
He's on every day. What? Yeah. It just, I mean, you're going to hear this.
What? Heresy.
What?
What was you, just briefly, what was you talking about?
We're talking about a guy on family radio. It's a very popular. They've got very beautiful music.
KRB.
They have got some beautiful, they've got some good teachers on there. James Boyce. Different ones they have on there. But there's one guy that backed it mainly, that basically controls it, is Harold Camping. And he preaches the most unbelievable heresy in this world. And one of them is that the church age is over, that nobody needs to go to church, that you don't need to be baptized or worry about baptism, because we don't even live in that church age today. And this is your problem where this came from. And this basically has come from some offshoots of Calvinism today. They're really hyper-Calvinistic.
89.1.
What?
I think it's on FM 89.1 every day.
93.1 or 91.32. No, 91.3. But if you be careful, you'll hear him over talking about this. I'm going to have to let you go because I need to let you out of here. Thank you for coming tonight. Brother Bill, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Lord, every time of Jesus, we just thank you for this opportunity to hear the Lord and for Jim for giving us these thoughts. The big problem, Lord, that we're not able to learn and present them to other people this week, that we're not being an example to you. And Father, we pray for the needs that they mentioned today in church, and that you just be with them and show them that you're there, Lord, and bless them. And we ask by these things in Jesus Christ, Amen.